It is February 7th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I'm John Lothian. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. Learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at education.johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The CME Group extended the employment contract of Executive Chairman and CEO Terrence A. Duffy through the end of 2024 and increased his base pay from $1.5 million to $2.0 million. CME Group's Compensation Committee also recommended and the board approved a one-time bonus of $5 million payable in March 2022. Mr. Duffy's annual incentive plan bonus is based on 200% of his base salary. His potential equity-based compensation percentage figure of 600% is also tied to the base salary figure. This is what the CME's SEC Form 8K filing had to say about Mr. Duffy's bonus. In approving the amended agreement with the extended term and special bonus, the compensation committee and the board agreed it was in the best interest of the company and the shareholders. The compensation committee and the board considered the importance of Mr. Duffy's continued long-term leadership of the organization, his role in the company's performance during the pandemic, including its continued effective operation of its markets during times of historic volatility, the achievement of the synergies relating to the acquisition of Next Group PLC, the execution of the transformative strategic partnership with Google, and the company's continued ability to deliver shareholder value in the form of stock price appreciation and its dividend policy. The compensation committee and the board also took into account other factors, including the company's strong performance under his long tenure career and his significant contributions, his role in our government relations advocacy, and the company's commitment to the prioritization of health and welfare of its employees. Congratulations, Terry, on a well-deserved raise, bonus, and affirmation by your compensation committee and board of directors. Well done. After Facebook's record $251.3 billion faceplant on Thursday, Amazon shares borrowed Jeff Bezos' rocket ship to blast off and gained $191 billion, that's billion with a B, capital B, in a single day, setting a daily record for the biggest single-day gain in U.S. stock market history, Bloomberg reported. These moves can be called some of the greatest advertising for options trading in the history of the industry. Ray Dalio gave an interview on the David Rubenstein show on Bloomberg where he said crypto gets too much attention, thus drawing more attention to crypto. Wait until he sees the Super Bowl on TV this upcoming weekend. Actually, I agree with him. There is too much attention on crypto while also swallowing hard on the irony of making this statement in this newsletter. However, crypto and blockchain investment in 2021 exceeded the previous 3 years combined, according to CoinDesk, citing a KPMG report. In the UK, fintech investment surged 617% to top $27 billion last year, Bloomberg reported. I will admit the shiny new busy crypto blockchain fintech news is crowding out news from the world of the traditional markets where lots of interesting things are happening. I have always been a believer in innovation and paying attention to the risks from other technologies or market structures or regulatory structures to our markets. This makes the crypto news relevant, interesting, important, and more recently dominating enough so that Ray Dalio wants to change the channel and watch another show. Luckily for him, during the next 2 weeks, the Olympics are on TV. J.P. Morgan's Jamie Dimon won't use the word currency to describe crypto. J.P. Morgan Asset and Wealth Management's Chairman of Market and Investment Strategy Michael Sembelist spoke in black and white terms about how he felt. He used the movie The Maltese Falcon to speak about greed, dreams, fakes, and Bitcoin's concentration that makes the libertarian argument for the digital asset ridiculous. And just to pile on more crypto news, Peter Johnson has left Jump Trading and Jump Crypto after 9 years and joined BH Digital. There, he will co-lead investments with Colleen Sullivan, who joined the Brevan Howard digital asset firm last November. They appear to be building a dream team there at BH Digital. The Department of Treasury issued a timely read on Friday about the art market and money laundering and terror finance. The title is Study on the Facilitation of Money Laundering and Terror Finance Through the Trade in Works of Art. The Treasury report is a great backdrop to today's lead story from The Atlantic. The internet is just investment banking now. MSCI is holding its inaugural MSCI Nexus Conference, How Next Generation Technology Will Solve Today's Most Important Investment Challenges, as a virtual event on March 9th, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. The first session is titled What's Ahead? The Investment Technology and Data Revolution, and features speakers Scott Guthrie, Executive Vice President of Microsoft Cloud and AI Group, Microsoft, Sandy Rattray, former Chief Investment Officer, Man Group, and Jigar Thakkar, Managing Director, Chief Technology Officer, and Head of Engineering, MSCI. The European Central Bank is looking for 15 highly talented recent graduates with a postgraduate degree for the ECB's graduate program. It's a two-year fixed-term contract starting September 1 that may be extended for one additional year upon successful completion of the program. It's only for EU nationals, and the location is Frankfurt. There's a link in today's newsletter for the details. A fun fact for Indiana University alumni and FIA CEO and President Walt Lukin, the Purdue men's basketball team is the first in the Big Ten to win 1,000 regular season conference games. Walt would reply that despite Purdue also leading in the number of conference championships, Indiana has won 5 national championships. And that, my friends, is what makes a rivalry. Since I've had COVID-19 and am triple vaxxed, it would be easy to start to relax and try to get back to normal, whatever that is. The thing I have to remember is that I can still catch the COVID-19 virus again, be asymptomatic, and not know it, and unknowingly pass it on to people who are not as protected as I am. This is not a love thy neighbor as thyself moment. It is a love thy neighbor and family members even more than I love myself. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Options trading sees big boom. Cboe to launch Nanos. BSTX uses blockchain. This is the spread from this last Friday. Alex Perry's Optiontopia takes a look at this week's options news highlights. High brokerage earnings, options trading surge, launch of Nanos by Cboe. John about micros and nanos in John's take. Options term of the week is contract multiplier with Kevin Davitt of Cboe. You can watch this on johnlothiannews.com. From the Business Insider, nobody told VC firms about crypto winter. They've poured more than $2 billion into digital asset companies this year already. If a crypto winter is coming, nobody told venture capital firms. Despite a major slump in digital asset prices, early stage investors have poured well over $2 billion into crypto startups so far this year. FTX, the exchange founded by crypto whiz kid Sam Bankman-Fried in 2019, has led the way. The main company raised $400 million in late January, valuing the business at a staggering $32 billion. That was shortly after its U.S. arm also raised $400 million for a valuation of $8 billion. My comment, to borrow a theme from the book and movie Being There by Jerry Kaczynski, there is a season for everyone, and the new growth of spring follows the harsh winter. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Stock picking shouldn't be allowed for everyone. Most people who own shares in individual companies don't really know what they're doing. Should the government set more guardrails? Markets this year are putting the risk in risk premium. Any asset that typically pays more than a low-risk bond, or zero return, will expose you to losses from time to time. And that happened a lot last month. And that's the deal. Risk is the cost of potentially higher gains. Some investors take more risk than others. If you face bigger losses than you can afford and don't get an overall higher return out of it, you need to rethink your investing strategy. And if that describes you, then odds are that you own individual stocks. As volatility comes back and the meme stock era ends, it's worth asking, should retail investors even be allowed to own individual stocks? My comment. Needless to say, I strongly disagree with this view. Whatever happened to life, liberty to trade stocks, and the pursuit of happiness? This view or regulation, if it became that, would also push more people into crypto trading and more speculative investments. From a more on the ground perspective, this opposes the view of those young investors in the DAO space who want to be able to invest in startup companies that are not publicly traded yet, but can't because those investments are for accredited investors only. Allison is espousing more rules like that. Here's a story from IFLScience.com. Why are people calling Bitcoin a religion? Read enough about Bitcoin and you'll inevitably come across people who refer to the cryptocurrency as a religion. Bloomberg's Lorcan Roach Kelly called Bitcoin the first true religion of the 21st century. Bitcoin promoter Hans McCook has taken to calling himself the friar and wrote a series of Medium pieces comparing Bitcoin to a religion. There's a Church of Bitcoin founded in 2017 that explicitly calls legendary Bitcoin creator Satoshi Nakamoto a prophet. In Austin, Texas, there are billboards with slogans like "Crypto is real" that weirdly mirror the ubiquitous billboards about Jesus found on Texas highways. Like many religions, Bitcoin even has dietary restrictions associated with it. My comment. Here's the question about the crypto is real message. If that were true, why do we have to create a whole other universe for it? The metaverse or Venusverse or whatever. How about crypto is virtual and we just believe that? Here's a story from The Atlantic. The COVID jerk. The boundaries of responsible behavior are less clear than they once were. About the author, Eric Schwitzgebel is a philosophy professor of the University of Riverside and author of A Theory of Jerks and Other Philosophical Misadventures. We all know the type, first appearing in the spring of 2020. The COVID jerk strutted unmasked through the supermarket, exhaling clouds of risk on worried shoppers and employees and daring low-paid workers to try to enforce the new policies. Flaunting their disdain for scientific consensus, they stepped close behind you in line, breathing on your shoulder, complaining about maximum occupancy requirements. My comment. We can disagree without being disagreeable. It used to be such a nice way to live. Can we get back to it? Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Friday's top story was Bloomberg's trading powerhouse's $320 million save suggests it's crypto rich about Chicago-based Jump Trading Group's crypto trading. Second was a CME Group press release. CME Group names slate of director nominees. Third most read was from MarketWatch. The best job in America pays $145,000 a year and has 14,000 job openings and offers a generous work-life balance. That one has topped our charts for several days now. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story has a headline of, "The Internet is just investment banking now. The Internet has always financialized our lives. Web3 just makes that explicit." Twitter has begun allowing its users to showcase NFTs, or non-fungible tokens, as profile pictures on their accounts. It's the latest public victory for this form of, and you know, there's the problem. What the hell is an NFT anyway? There are answers. Twitter calls NFTs unique digital items, such as artwork with proof of ownership that's stored on a blockchain. In marketing for the new feature, the company offered an even briefer take. Digital items you own, that promise mated to a flood of interest and wealth in cryptocurrency markets used to exchange them, has created an NFT gold rush over the past year. Last March, the artist known as Beeple sold an NFT at auction for $69.5 million. The digital sculptor, Refik Anadol, one of the artists the Atlantic commissioned to imagine a COVID-19 memorial in 2022, has brought in millions selling editions of his studio's work in NFT form. Jonathan Mann, who started writing a song every day when he couldn't find a job after the 2008 financial collapse, began selling those songs as NFTs, converting a fun internet hobby into a viable living. Here's a story from the FT. Wall Street learns to relax about returning to the office. Banks are becoming more tolerant of hybrid working as they compete for talent. Wall Street bankers have been heading back to the office in recent days as Omicron variant infections decreases in New York, but this time the return to work is happening with a whimper rather than a bang that accompanied the reopening in the summer. As Goldman Sachs, one of the industry's biggest proponents of getting its bankers in the office, the mood was noticeably more muted than it was last summer when the bank welcomed staff back with food trucks and afternoon concerts. And then finally, the last one is from the Wall Street Journal. The headline is "Tech Talent Shortage is Helping Drive M&A Deals." The pandemic sparked a 10% increase in IT and business service deals in 2021 as companies boosted budgets and tech staffing. A shortage of information technology workers is prompting some companies to buy firms for their employees, a strategy that is helping drive up the number of merger and acquisition deals across the IT and business services sector, industry analysts say. Employers last month posted roughly 340,000 unfilled IT job openings, 11% higher than the 12-month average, spanning a range of positions, industry, and locations, IT trade group CompTIA said in an analysis of Labor Department employment data Friday. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.